Again, thankful that you're able to be out, and appreciate so much your being with us. I appreciate the prayers, Cody and Kyle, on my behalf. It is a very important thing to only teach what God wants us to teach and teach it exactly the way He wants to teach it. And that's why it's such a responsibility to get up in front of anyone or privately teach them, because we need to make sure that we're teaching what God wants us to teach. I was just thinking back there, I think this is a little story my dad used to tell, and I certainly won't tell it the same way he did. He was much better at that. But he was talking about how we use what we have, and certainly we were talking more about today about how we actually get funds. But he talked about these two that were talking, and one of them was talking about, well, if I had a need, would you help me with it? And the other one said, well, of course I would. And he said, well, like if you had two cars, would you give me one of those? And he said, well, yeah, I'd do that. And he said, if you had two houses, would you? And he said, well, of course. He said, what if you had two hogs? He said, now, wait a second, you know I have two hogs. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's easy to say you'll do something as long as you don't have to give up anything to do it. And so that's where God wants us to be very careful. But He wants us to be very responsible in how we obtain funds. And one of the things that I'd had this discussion about recently, like I said, with Cody, it was kind of interesting. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, he was talking about someone that he worked with was arguing that it was okay to obtain funds through gambling. And then I was talking to the Lambs recently, and they were talking about the lesson that they had heard on that. So I thought, well, I haven't preached on it in a while, so I think it's good for us to remind ourselves, because sometimes people come up to us and they have all these arguments. And it is so prevalent in our society that gambling is okay, and you go around this state now and it's everywhere. I mean, literally, it is everywhere. There's not one place you can go that some form of gambling isn't legitimate. And so people look at that. But I think what brought this about was a frame of mind that people have. When we actually look at gambling and we look at the definition of it, it is just to play a game for money or other stakes. So is that right or wrong? Well, people say, well, I just don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, here you have someone come to your house and they want to sell you a chance on something. And it's only a dollar and it's going for a good cause. Now, buy a chance on this, and if you win this, you'll get this TV. What? Hey, come on, that's got to be okay, right? So you're playing cards with someone. They say, let's play for pennies. Just pennies. It's no big deal. And we start thinking in small terms, like, okay, well, it's only a small amount of money. Or, wow, you're with that favorite girl of yours, you know, at a fair or somewhere, and they go, well, let's go up and we'll plunk a dollar down, and then I'll try this, and if I win, I'll get this teddy bear. And somehow or another, in our minds, so many of these things, now they're okay. I mean, what's the big deal? It's a small amount of money. I'm not really doing anything, and, you know, there's a chance that I could win this big prize. And so, somehow in our minds, we start thinking, okay, I can play a game of any kind for money or other stakes. Whether it be just maybe a dollar for the lotto. I mean, after all, look how much money I could win and look what I could do with that money. The problem is when we're looking at all this, we're looking and we're saying, well, it's all those other people out there. But we need to be careful in our own lives and what we do as well, because sometimes we do things that we might want to consider this. Is it really gambling? It's also to bet on an uncertain outcome. That is, I will risk something, but I don't know what the result's going to be. Like, I will put a dollar down, and there's a chance I could get that. Maybe slim to none in most of these games, because guess who has the advantage in all this? Well, the house always does. I don't care if it's at a fair where it's for some small amount or it's something else. Why do you think they do it? Who do you think gets most of the money from this? Are we, number one, spending our money wisely? Well, it's also to stake something on a contingency or to speculate. And so we need to be careful in that as well. So we're going to look at some of those things. Here's some gambling facts. Gambling is legal in many states. And I probably now, it's about all of them. Most of the states legalize some form of gambling. And the way they do this is, a lot of times they won't legalize it privately at first, but they'll legalize it publicly. That is, it's okay for the government to do it, but it's not okay for private individuals to do it. Some religious groups actually condone gambling. They encourage it. And it's gotten more and more religious groups are into this because it's a way of making funds. What have they learned about this? They have learned that the house is the one that makes the money. It is always true. And so, guess who's going to get the most money from this while they take it from others? It's been legal in Nevada since 1930. The only state where it's been legal for that amount of time in the United States. That state has twice the suicides of any other state. Probably not even counting the visitors. I was amazed one time watching a special about this, and it's so amazing, and then legalize it other places just blows me away. How many people, after they go to Las Vegas, not a lot of people there compared to a lot of states, will throw themselves off of a parking garage or someone else because somewhere else because they've lost all their money and now they have to go back home and they just can't face that. Gambling is addictive. If you don't think it's not addictive, listen to the commercials for the state lotto. Well, you know, or one of these other gambling casinos where they make them tell you this. Well, if it becomes addictive to you, we've got something that will help you. I'm thinking, well, you're the cause of it. Shut it down. You won't have to worry about being addictive to that person. It's wrecked many homes. I know of people that could not stand it. I know of people that have had it in their home where the very little money that came in, the person that was responsible for that money used so much of it in gambling that the family starved. Had very little. But boy, they enjoyed themselves, right? It's caused some to lose all that they have. Everything they have. When you hear these stories about, I paid off my house through this, don't believe it. A lot of people lost their house through this. Many lottery winners end up bankrupt. It is amazing the percentage that I saw the last time. Not just they're worse shape than they were before they won it. How could that possibly be? And it is sin. It's not a matter of coloring it any other way. It is sin. So let's talk about it. I told you the positive ways in the first lesson about how God says we can obtain money. So why is this one not? Well, the word gamble isn't used in the Bible. We've had this one before, right? And someone, you're talking to someone, they said, God doesn't say it's wrong. And we say to them, well, but He tells us how. Well, yeah, but He didn't say that was wrong. Well, neither is abortion. Not in there. Not in the term abortion. Euthanasia is not in there. That's taking someone my age and you don't like me anymore and you just kill me. That's what that is. Rape's not in there. You think that's wrong? Suicide's not in there. You think self-murder is wrong? It doesn't make any of them prove to God just because that particular word isn't in there. When we look at other words, we can know it's wrong. The money, they say, goes for a good cause. Don't you just love that one? Well, I'm doing this for my school. So here, put some money down. I've had them, even kids come to my door, and what I say to them is, no, I won't buy a chance on something because that's gambling. I'll tell you what I will do. If I can trust you, I will give you money toward that good cause that you're trying to promote, or I'll take it to the school, but I'm not giving you that. So does money made through other wrongful acts, like stealing to feed one's family. Ah, you know what? I'm just feeding my family. I took it from someone else because I couldn't feed my family. Does that make it right? Prostitution for the sake of feeding one's family. How many times have you heard someone who is in the prostitution say, is the only way I could feed my family? It's an honorable way of me making money. Doesn't make it right. Selling drugs to make money to feed one's family. Well, you know, there's a lot of money in that. Wouldn't that be okay whether the government's legalized it or not? Doesn't that make it okay? How about alcohol to feed one's family? How about, we can go on and on. Romans 3:8, there's a principle taught there, and I want to read this. It is a principle. Not what he's talking about in the context, but this principle always applies to everything we do, which is this. And why not say? Now, that's what this is the end justifies the means. Does that sound like an argument we hear all the time? He said, okay, let me talk about that argument. Let us do evil that good may come. As long as good comes out of something, does it not make it okay? Does not the end justify the means? as we are so slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just. Not only does he say, is that wrong, and I've never said that, but a person that says, I said that, is condemned. Because you've talked evil about me as well. The principle is, you can never, ever, ever justify the end by the means. Life itself is a gamble. You know, age, just getting up in the morning, you can slip and fall. Yeah, go say, I'm going to stay in bed all day and just die there. Let me tell you something. That's not what it is. Life has never been a gamble. If you look at 1 Corinthians 4:19, you know what he says in that? He says, Abe, this is the way you should look at life, and this is the way anyone should look at life. When you're living your life, you put it in the hands of God. And this is what you say. 4:19. I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. You see, I'm not gambling. I'm leaving my life in the hands of God. I get up in the morning because I'm dependent on God. I get out in a car because I'm dependent on God. Is there a chance I could be in an accident? Absolutely. Is there chances of things that could happen? Yes. But what am I doing? I'm just living my life before God, which He told me to do. Same thing in James 4:15. He said, you be careful about making statements about, I'll do this tomorrow and I'll do this tomorrow. He said, but you say, if the Lord wills, then I will go into such and such city and sail. Well, you know, farming and gardening are gambles. I mean, you're just taking a chance. You go out there and you work real hard, don't you, to plant a garden or to plant farm crops. But you don't know, right? Well, actually, you do know. In Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. It's not a gamble. It's just a matter of life. You plant, and there's a seed time. You do the best you can. What's the result of that? Well, you depend on God again. In James 5, 7 and 8, what does the farmer do? Well, he goes out and he plants. And then who does he depend on? He's not risking. He's just doing. He's working to provide. This is what he says in 7 and 8. Therefore be patient, brethren, in the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord is at hand. He said, be like that farmer. You understand that when you plant, turn it over to God and hope for His blessings on it. Well, Abe, you know, buying health and auto and home and life insurance is a gamble. I mean, aren't you risking some money in the hopes of gaining something else? Absolutely not. I don't want to have a car accident just so I can get some of that money back. I don't want to die just so Linda can have money. I want to die so I can be with the Lord. That's the what the purpose of that is. I don't want to die just to, I don't want to get sick just so I can use my health insurance. How many people will say, oh, you know, I'd love to be sick tomorrow so I can use up some of that health insurance. I don't ever want to use it. No, actually what it is, it's buying down the risk. It's transferring the risk to someone else. It's being wise with our money in a situation where we know it could be catastrophic, where I can't afford to do it. And so that's why I do certain things like that, or provide for my family, as these scriptures would point out. It's an idea of so that my family won't be destitute. No, these aren't gambles. These are being smart. Well, investing is a gamble, people say. I will agree that some types of investing is a gamble. I think some of them are just totally risky. When you go out there and you know good and well that that thing is not going to make it, but you just have a hope that if I'll invest everything that we have in this one stock, and I know it's never done well before, but you know, that's not too smart for most of us. Most of us have no idea. Most of us don't deal in that day by day, and so it'd be pretty stupid on our part if someone came along and said, Glendon says, you know, Abe, I got this great stock. We're going, now Glendon, are you sure about this? I trust him a lot, but you know what? He's not a stockbroker. He doesn't deal with all of that. But there's other kinds that are not that Jesus talks about. Jesus talks about taking your money, and he uses this principle of taking it to a banker, and you know you'll get something back. He told the one talent man, if you'd have just taken it somewhere, you'd have got it back. You would have understood the value of money. You would have understood that there are ways to get some return on your money, and those are fine. Now, do banks go out of, quote unquote, out of business? Wasn't there a lot of people that lost all their money in banks because banks did wrong? Yeah, banks do wrong. I can't help that. But I put it there because in the hopes that you know, again, leaving things in the hands of God, and things will work out well for me to do that. And that's exactly what Jesus taught. So now, gambling, is it wrong? Now, we've talked about the positive ways of making it, and we shouldn't even most of the time spend time on something like this, right? But let's do. Because I think it is good. This is one of those where I believe we can prove beyond a shadow of doubt that gambling is wrong. It is a sin. Gambling promotes the incentive to work, right? No, it destroys it. It's an idea of, well, if I could just make it this way, I don't have to work for it. You know, I can sit there and enjoy a game that I like playing, and maybe I can get some money off of it, and maybe... How many gamblers have you ever heard say make these comments? I've been around them all my life, and they just think it's that next time they play. It's that next time. And that's where they spend all their time doing it. A lot of them don't show up for work because guess where they are? They're down there playing at one of the casinos. It actually promotes laziness. Man wants to earn his living by the sweat of the brow. There is no other option than this for most of us. My parents weren't very rich. So I wasn't left with, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars. Could I have quit working if I had received that? I don't think so. I think I'm still supposed to be working. Again, don't be lazy, he said. Don't go out and steal. Don't take from someone else. Work for it so that you can give to other people. And a man that won't work, neither shall he eat. So, promotes laziness. We know that. And Solomon discussed this as well in Proverbs 6, 6 through 9, 13, 4, 21, 25, and 26, where he talks about the ant and how it goes out and works and works and works and prepares. It knows what it takes to be able to do this. Gambling is not justful gain. It is unjust gain. I am getting it from someone else that had to earn that money or get it themselves some way, and I want that. It's a perverse way to get gain. It is not the idea of, okay, you know, I have done some work, and I receive funds for that because I did that work. This is the idea of, I'm not working for it, but I will play you this game for chance, and I want what you have. And I want you to pass that over to me because I want that. And Solomon wrote about this, Ecclesiastes 28, 6 through 8. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. If you get this in a perverse way, in some method other than what God said, you're not doing right. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. One who increases his possession by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. He's saying there are some methods in which it is perverse to gain it. It's no different from taking it from someone by extortion or usury. The only difference is you've got them to agree to give you their money if you beat them in this game. And that's the only difference. It is definitely a form of covetousness. I don't care what anyone says about gambling. Have you ever met a gambler that said, you know, I want to play these games, but I just want to lose my money. I just love losing money. I can't wait to lose my money. I just want to give my money to someone. Really? I'd say you better get them somewhere where they can get some medication quickly. Because there's something bad wrong in their head. Because you know what people want? Have you ever met a gambler that said, well, I just want to make just a wee bit? Have you ever met a person, a gambler, who said, you know, I don't care whether I win or not? Gamblers want to win. The idea behind this is that if Nick and I are going to get involved in a game, I want to beat him. I'm smart enough not to play basketball, okay? And the only way I would do that would be, say, you got to tie both hands behind your back, and I get to keep the ball all the time. And it still take me a long time to beat him. So the point of this is, that's stupid on my part. So here I am sitting down with someone, and what do I want? I want what you have. Nick, I'll tell you what. If you tie your hands behind your back and I can tie your feet, and you let me have the basket all the time, will you give me $100 if I beat you? You think Nick would take me up on that? You see what I'm saying? I'm covetous. I want it, and I want the advantage in this. It is a strong desire to have what belongs to another. I want that. It's not just a desire. It's something that I just want their money. He goes back and he says, owe no man anything except the loving. We'll talk about that in a minute. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. He said these were moral laws under that law, and there are moral laws under this law. It is a moral law not to covet. It's a strong desire for worldly gain without work. You know, somewhere along the line, we think that, well, if I could just make this, I'll tell you what, all my life I figured it out. If I want it, I have to work for it. He includes covetousness, and he said, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. And Paul said he never, ever wanted what belonged to someone else. In Acts 20, he said it was never his desire to take from someone else. And this is what he had to say about it. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You know why I know that Paul never sat down in a game of risk? Because he never wanted what belonged to someone else like that. He would never have taken it. He wouldn't even have accepted it. He wasn't going to do it. Yes, you know, selves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I've shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And again, how many people sit down in a game of chance and they go, I just want to give you my money, so let's get this game over with real quick. I'm thinking, well, if you want to do that, just give them the money in the first place, right? And it is idolatry. It is a love of money. When we get to the point where we desire it so much that we're willing to take what belongs to someone else on a game of chance, that's wrong. And he talks about that, and we use this in the first lesson, 1 Timothy 6, 5 through 10, that it has destroyed many a person. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And he talks about the fact that this is so destructive. It is so destructive, again, that I have seen people, they think that next time is that time they're going to win. And the truth is, we're either going to serve God or riches in Matthew 6:24. And I will tell you this, it breaks the second greatest commandment. If you never thought about this before, what it ends up doing is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to tell you, if I get in a game of chance with Mike, I don't want him to win. I don't love him like that. I'm showing that I love me more. I want that. I'm not going to love him as myself. Somebody's got to win, and it better be me. We want to esteem him or her greater than ourselves. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. By the way, the first passage there was Matthew 22, 37 through 40. We've used this a couple times recently, and Cody had used it in a lesson as well recently. It is such a beautiful passage of Scripture in which let nothing be done. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Not even for your pride. Don't do that. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Am I doing that? If I sit down and I want to win something from you in a game of chance where I haven't earned it, where I've done nothing to do it other than beat you at some game. And gambling is selfishness. We want it for ourselves. Goes back to these same one of the passages of Scripture we just read. It's not that I want to take it and somehow or another, I'm going to give that back to Mike? No, I'm going to keep it. Whatever I can get from him, I'm going to keep. It's mine. And what did I do to earn it? Absolutely nothing. Sat down and played some game of chance with him. In 2 Timothy 3, in a list of things that he talks about that would sins. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Classic lover of self. I want it for me. Lovers of money, wanting something without having to work for it. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is quite a list. And you think about this list, these are all included in those same ones that he put up front. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. I talked to a person that was a gambler, and they struggled. And they struggled even as a Christian. And it was one of those where they admitted that back, they'd stay up at night stay up till 1 or 2, 3 in the morning trying to just break even or win and try to go into work the next day if they could manage it, and then couldn't wait to get back home again and start playing again. Just became so addictive to them, and it was because of their selfishness. They wanted to please self. They enjoyed this so much and they wanted what they could get out of it. Thankfully, this person ended all of that, quit the gambling, and just totally quit every bit of that. Tough, but had to be done. That rich young ruler, you know what his problem was? When Jesus said to him, "I know what your problem is." He had mentioned several of the commandments, and he said, "Well, I've kept all those from my youth up," but he didn't mention covetousness. So he said, "Well, let me tell you your problem." He said, "Your problem is what you have." He said, "Sell it all and give it to the poor." Couldn't do it. You remember in the first lesson when I said, if there's something out there that you can't give up, that in your own mind you know that you could never give that up and it would be so heartbreaking to you if you had to give it up, then we need to quit. We need to probably get that thing away from us, whatever it might be. This violates the golden rule. This is an amazing thing. How does that violate the golden rule? Again, I'm going to sit down in a game of chance with you. And I'm going to say to you, really, I'm doing this so I can just give you my money. When, after all, if that was true, I could just take it and give you my money. I don't need to involve this other person in something like this, do I? What does it say? "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So I've got to assume that if you're going to gamble, what you really are wanting is someone else to take your money. Wouldn't that be what you say? Right? Because you want you're going to do to them. Right? So, no, that's not it. Actually, what you want is their money. You're not going to do for them what you would want them to do to you. Interesting. Robs one family. I've known of several families that lost everything they had. Instead of providing for them in an honest way, instead of not being this infidel, or instead of being a Christian, they become an infidel because they don't provide for their families because they spend so much of this time going down to the casinos and doing all this. And, you know, again, I know all of us have talked to people that do this. And to hear them tell it, it is one of the most wonderful things in the world to go down to one of these casinos and walk through there, this so sinful place, and think, boy, this is so much fun. And to look around and watch all those, many times, poor people dropping the last bit of money they have down on the table and go home with nothing. And their family has nothing. But somehow in their mind, they think they're doing something for their family when they could go out and work for it. 1 Timothy 5:8, we used earlier, Mark 7:9 through 13. He talks about the fact that they put aside the commandments of God, and they decided that they didn't have to take care of their parents anymore. They made the decision. They robbed their families by doing something that they thought was even spiritual, let alone something like this, which is going down there and wasting all your money. In many cases, it violates civil law. It's still, believe it or not, against civil law for you to have a gambling party in your home. Isn't that amazing? Now, the government can do it, and they can allow these institutions to do it, but you can't do it. So that would break God's law. You see, some states legalize certain types of gambling, but have laws against other types of gambling. It just blows me away. Just because government makes something legal, it does not mean that God has made it okay. Some examples of that. Gay marriage. Okay, so they say it's okay and that's right, right? No, that doesn't make it right. How about marriage between two that have no right to be with each other, heterosexual marriage? No, that's not right either. How about two people living together? No, that's not right either. None of these are right just because the government says it's okay. All kinds of divorces anymore. Welfare. The wrongful kind, where we're not helping people who need help, but just helping people so that we can get votes, right? So I can run for office. Some of the things wrong with it, it destroys the incentive to work. I've seen people who lost their jobs because they spent so much time gambling. I'm not saying everybody does, but I've seen that. It's unjust gain. I'm not gaining something, I don't care how big or how small it is, whether it's a few pennies or several $1 million. It doesn't change what I'm doing. I've known of people who would bet over the next color of car coming down the road. It's a form of covetousness. It's a love of money. Breaks the second greatest commandment. Selfishness violates the golden rule. It robs one family. Sometimes it even breaks civil law. But of all the gambling, that A. Martin is involved in. The one that I sure don't want to gamble on is my soul. It doesn't matter in some respects about the rest of this to some degree. They're wrong. But if I do things that are wrong in God's sight, including doing what we just discussed, I'm gambling with my soul. I know that God didn't condone it. So I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. That's a gamble. I'm risking something that's so important to me. Many are betting on the belief that God will save them even if they don't obey His commandments. They're putting everything in life. Everything. Now, I'm not talking about just your money and everything else. I'm talking about they're putting the body, the soul, and the spirit in jeopardy. And they're saying, I'm okay. I'm okay. God will, His love will prevent him from, well, the Bible teaches the opposite. It won't prevent him from sending someone to hell. It won't prevent him from sending me to hell if I will not do what he says. To him, and this is such a principle in so many ways, that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. If you know what's right and proper, don't delve into other things. We know to do good, and so therefore we must do what God says. He has told us about His Son dying for our sins. He has told us that we must believe it's His Son. These are not just things that He's randomly said. This has to be done. He's told us that we have a penitent heart. He's told us we must confess His Son as Christ, the Son of God, and He's told us we must be baptized if we want to have our sins forgiven. He's told us, and we must live a faithful life to Him. Anything separate and apart from that is a risk. It's a gamble. It's taking a chance. It's saying, I am putting everything that I am and have in this life on this other possibility that God will save me even if I haven't obeyed Him. Question, are you willing to gamble on the most precious thing you have? Please stand.